The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, April 4th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh, we're going to have a good time on today's show. We are the headline show on the launch of the brand new Normal Network. We've been beta testing it for the past couple of weeks, but we're official now. We're on the Normal front page, and we got a great lineup of shows that you can catch all day long and all night long. In fact, 420, 24/7, 365 here at the Normal Network. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the next couple of segments here on the show. We'd also normally be going to Ganja John here. He's unfortunately not here today. He's just flying back from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. He told me he had a good time. He met some guy from Hawaii named Barry and had a really good time. Let's go to John Cam and get some of the audio here.
I discovered that it didn't make any difference whether you smoked reefer in the white classmate's sparkling new van or in the dorm room with some brother you'd met down at the gym. Or on the beach with a couple of Hawaiian kids who had dropped out of school and now spent most of their time looking for an excuse to brawl.
Oh, well, that sounds like a really good friend to have there, John. I'm glad you got to meet old Barry from Hawaii. That's really cool. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ.
How are you doing, Carrie?
Oh, I'm doing great. It was really fun being in studio last Friday. I wish we lived a little bit closer.
I know. Everybody really loved having you here in the studio. It was a good time, and we're glad to see you again. And congratulations on your endeavor. We got to find out the success of your recent endeavor, and that's as much as I'll say about it. But
oh, all right. Nice.
Congratulations. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after this first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, you might want to get your taps button ready. We've got to report on a few bill deaths. Also, we're going to go to Maine for some news, and we're going to do a rundown of this weekend's events.
All right. Sounds like good stuff coming up in the news. Also on today's show, it's Roots Monday, and Cannabob from the Viper Hour is going to bring us the Medical Marijuana Song by Dan Samples. He's got video of that as well, so stay tuned. Alan St. Pierre joined us at half past the hour for This Month in Normal. Of course, the big event This Month in Normal is the Normal National Conference, April 21st through 23rd. We've also got some events that have been added on for 420. Some interesting stuff. A Denver mayoral debate at a Normal conference. This is going to be really interesting. We'll talk to Alan about that at half past the hour. And then at 45 past, time for a radical rant that I'm entitling, If I Can Handle Snakes. And we'll take a look at what we consider to be outrageous in America, but we still don't make it illegal. All that and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation. You can get our downloads at stash.normal.org, and you can also subscribe via iTunes. Just look for the Normal Daily Audio Stash. We're right back after this short break. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that. But finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Darnell Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic jewelry. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place instead.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A bill in Washington state that would have legalized marijuana for adults has officially died in committee in Olympia. House Bill 1550 had the support from every state legislator from Seattle, as well as the city attorney, several city council members, and the Seattle mayor. But in the end, that wasn't enough support from legislators in the rest of the state to keep the bill moving forward. The bill needed to advance out of its relevant committees by Friday evening, a cutoff date for the 2011 legislature. Sponsored by Representative Mary Lou Dickerson, a Democrat from Seattle, the bill would have legalized the sale of marijuana for adults and would have been regulated by the state liquor control board. House Bill 1550 would have also garnered a 15% tax on cannabis sales as well. Testimony about the bill included estimates that could bring in hundreds of millions of dollars for the state that is looking at a deficit of $5 billion for the next 2 years. Representative Dickerson said the new tax monies would have been used for health care and youth substance abuse prevention. She said to reporters on Friday, quote, "Let me be clear, I don't support legalization because I want to see more people use cannabis. I support it because I know a tremendous number of people already use cannabis. Why shouldn't the state benefit from that as opposed to criminal organizations?" Unquote. The death of the bill in committee was somewhat expected, but the high-profile supporters of the bill from Seattle and elsewhere in the state indicate that legalization efforts in general are gaining momentum and increasing support from lawmakers. The bill has one more, although far-fetched, chance of seeing the light of day. The measure could be included into a budget that is due in the final weeks of the session, but that is highly unlikely. The chance of a legalization measure on the ballot is still alive, though. Sponsors of a bill initiative that would legalize cannabis for those over 18 are collecting signatures to try and get a legalization measure on the ballot by November. To qualify for the November ballot, initiative sponsors need to get the signatures of more than 241,000 registered voters by July 8th. Last year, a similar effort fell short by about 50,000 signatures.
Oh, that's a shame. The legalization bill there in Washington state is dead in committee. But again, the initiative effort exists, and you can all get involved with Sensible Washington. Check them out on the internet and find out, get a copy of your signature page. Let's get this on the ballot. The people want this, and I was so heartened to hear that representative say, "I'm not voting for this because I think people should smoke pot. I'm voting for this because people already smoke pot." That's what I always try to point out to people on these legalization bills is that it's not like we legalize marijuana and then suddenly we've got pot smokers. We're already out here. We're already smoking. And a lot of us would much rather that our the money that we spent on a dime bag help to build a school or feed a kid than bought our dealer a new Xbox game.
And I'll just get these deaths out of the way right up front. Two bills in Maine that would have decriminalized possession of small amounts of marijuana have both died in committee. Measure LD 754 that would have doubled the amount of usable cannabis a person could possess and still have it treated as a civil matter instead of a criminal one, and LD 750 that would have decriminalized up to six cannabis plants had bipartisan support from lawmakers. It just didn't have enough support from the lawmakers sitting on the committee they were assigned to. The sponsors of the bill, Representative Diane Russell and Representative Rich Sebra, were hoping that the bills would make less people criminals in the state and give more individual freedom to Maine citizens. Both bills were assigned to the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee, where a unanimous vote against the bills killed them for this session. The Maine Prosecutors Association, along with Maine's Drug Enforcement Agency, said the marijuana laws in Maine were already some of the most progressive in the country, and both bills went too far. One of the co-sponsors of the bill, Representative Russell, is currently working on a legalization bill for her state, but it will be unlikely covered in this year's session.
All right. Well, it's not all bad news in Maine, though. Maine has already decriminalized up to 2.5 ounces. And that's, you know, the second greatest amount you can have in the United States under a decrim, aside from Ohio, which is 100 grams. That's about 3.5 ounces in Ohio. So when they were talking about doubling that, they were doubling it from 2.5 ounces to 5 ounces. Right? You know, over a quarter pound. So that would have been, as they said, the most lenient decriminalization measure in the United States. And the other measure to decriminalize the cultivation of six plants would be the only state that I'm aware of that decriminalized the use, the cultivation of plants other than for medical use. As far as I know, none of the other states allow you to grow any plants. It's merely the possession that's decriminalized. They're moving the right direction there in the state of Maine, and it sounds like they got some sensible lawmakers that'll come up with something that'll legalize in that state sometime soon. These are the steps we have to take. And the other thing that's really troubling about this, and we also heard this with the Washington story earlier here, is how a bill will make it to a committee and then it'll just die, right? You could have, you know, majority support in the House or the Senate, you know, whichever body you're trying to get it through. But if you don't have majority support on that particular committee that it has to come out of, it can die there. And a lot of times you'll have a leader, a majority leader in a Senate or a speaker in a House who doesn't particularly like a medical marijuana measure or doesn't like a decriminalization measure. And since they're in charge of assigning, to some extent, which committees these bills can go to, they know that they got, oh, I got five guys on this eight-person committee that don't like it either. I'll shuffle it over there and it'll die. It's really sick when you get deep into politics and you start learning how all of this stuff happens and how just a few people who want to thwart the will of a majority can make that happen.
And a small, unassuming house that has been converted to a business opened its doors last week, making it the first legal dispensary on the East Coast. Safe Alternatives is housed in Frenchville, Maine on Route 1 with no signage, but plenty of security cameras as required by state law. The facility looks like a typical house, but the business is run by Leo Tridell, and it has a secure growing facility locked up on the inside, but not many local supporters so far. Some residents are wary of the business because it doesn't look like a business. The facility is located less than a mile from an elementary school, a point repeatedly mentioned in local media stories, but the state law says it must be no closer than 500 feet. One man interviewed for a local TV affiliate said that he doesn't feel the small, unassuming house looks secure enough for him and his family, saying that he doesn't care if Safe Alternatives have said they will be careful that marijuana doesn't get into the wrong hands, but he says, quote, "The Japanese people received the same insurances about nuclear power plants, so I am just not convinced," unquote. So far, neighbors of the facility say that there has been very little activity at the location, and operator-owner Trudell has declined media requests, telling one local affiliate, "To be perfectly honest, the media has really done nothing but play us against each other, and I'm done playing this game." The city is currently working on a proposed ordinance that would be stricter than the state's laws for marijuana cultivation facilities, and there will be a public hearing on the new ordinance in May, where residents will be allowed to speak to council members and add their input. We just hope that there will be debate on both sides of the issue.
My God, what about the children? Oh, my God. They always bring up the chili. A mile away, this. Okay, so first of all, it doesn't even look like a business. It looks like a house, unassuming, not like they got a big neon pot leaf for, you know, spotlights circling the air. Attention, we have medical marijuana. Nothing like that going on, right? And it's a mile from the school, a mile from the elementary school. Like the kids are going to be walking the mile down to the fake dispensary and they're going to be letting them in and getting the weed to the children. Really? That's what's going through your mind here? Is that the, it's a mile away from something that from the street or even just driving by, you wouldn't even recognize as being a place that dispenses medical marijuana. This is the extent to which reefer madness has permeated our culture. This idea that for some reason we can't even mention medical marijuana to the children. And, you know, part of this, of course, is because the very existence of a medical marijuana dispensary, you know, leads kids to ask questions, leads them to ask, you know, what is this medical marijuana? I've heard about the news, what's going on? And now the parents are uncomfortable because they have to explain, well, it's a plant that some people use for medicine. Gosh, gee, what a terribly difficult thing to have to explain to a child, huh? As someone who doesn't have a child, you know, and I might take some heat from this, but as someone who doesn't have a child, I get a little tired of being adult and constantly having it to live in a world that is baby-proofed, that has to have soft edges on everything. There are some things that are for adults, and in the case of medical marijuana, other than, you know, very limited number of kids that are using it medically, this is largely an adult thing, and it's medicine. How is that difficult to explain to children when you have to explain to them, you know, all of the Viagra commercials that you see on the television? Come on now. Let's get real about this.
And there were big cannabis lifestyle events held this weekend in a few different corners of our nation. Over 6,000 people enjoyed the annual Hash Bash in Ann Arbor, Michigan. There were speakers, music, and information offered up to the crowd who chanted, "Free the weed," as many openly enjoyed cannabis. The event that is always held at the University of Michigan campus has been held there since 1972. This year, campus police arrested 10 people for using and possessing marijuana. Also this weekend, HempCon was held in the Los Angeles Event Center and housed over 150 vendors and also boasted a concert by Ziggy Marley. HempCom is a trade show mostly billed for medical marijuana consumers, and many of the vendors at the event this year were internet startups that included a daily coupon deal like Groupon for cannabis enthusiasts called Kushpon, and even a new social network for medical marijuana users that its owners hope will be the Facebook of the cannabis community. No reported arrests or problems this year at HempCom, the third event of its kind that they have held. And also, the High Times American Cannabis Cup was held in Denver this weekend. High Times Magazine held the event at the Denver X-Dose Event Center with vendors, educational seminars, musical acts, and speakers. Awards were given out to the best marijuana strains and the best marijuana-related gear. We hope to get some more firsthand accounts of the Denver High Times Cannabis Cup from our own Ganja John, who attended, and hopefully he returns tomorrow.
Yeah, he should be flying right now during the time of the show here, or pretty close to it. Check out the Ganja John Twitter stream, just Ganja, J-O-N on Twitter. John Doe Radio as well. They have a lot of links and information. JDR was live tweeting the winners. He's got the reviews up on his site, so you can check that out. I've got some of them here that you can know. We've got the best sativa went to Snow Dog out of Natural Alternatives. The best indica went to Banana Kush from Mile High Green Cross. And the best hybrid also went to Sour Grape from Mile High Green Cross. Highest CBD percentage found was in a pre-98 Bubba Kush from the Clinic on Holly with 12.7% CBD. I'm really excited they got a category here for measuring CBD. A lot of patients are looking for that anti-inflammatory property. They're looking for the pain relief that they get from the CBD. This is pre-98 Bubba Kush from the Clinic on Holly at 12.7%. Best edibles, Chiba Chews Double Dose. We've also got Best Concentrates Grape Ape with Salida Green Cross. Best Glass went to Drop by Lazy J's Smoke Shop. And the best product, hey, it did it again. I think it won this one in the San Francisco one. Best product went to the Incredibowl. We've got one in our shelf right over there. The Incredibowl, the big winners, big friends of the show. Best Booth went to Made, M-A-D-E, there at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado. Tune in later later here on the Normal Network, and you will actually get to hear John Doe's Monday Report. It's a short show, about 18 minutes, but John Doe's Monday Report will be on at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, plus his interview with Danny Danko from last Tuesday follows that up on John Doe Radio, coming up later on the Normal Network. Well, Coleco, I think it's about time we take a break. Coleco, the intern's hanging out with us and gone to John's chair.
I'm ready to do it.
All right, break time it is. Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Ah, yes. Now I remember what I didn't get done this weekend. Re-recording the intro for Roots Monday. Of course, Cannabob has taken this over from the Viper Hour, and he brings it to us by video again this week. Here we go. Let's load it up. It's Roots Monday with Cannabob.
Hello and welcome to the Roots Monday Toker Tunes. I'm Canna Bob, host of the Viper Hour here on the Normal Network, with a new show premiering every Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Stop in and listen to us. We play some of that great old jazz, reefer, blues music from the 1920s and 30s. We'd be glad to have you. On today's Roots Monday tune, we have a folk song. There's not a lot of folk music from back in the day concerning marijuana music, but there are a lot of current day folk artists that are incorporating the marijuana theme into their music. And today we have one such artist, a Mr. Dan Samples. Dan is a YouTube artist. He has a wonderful collection of folk music on his YouTube page. Just search for Cool and Dark, one word, and you will find the music library of Mr. Dan Samples, a really good folk singer-songwriter. And today we're going to hear one of Dan's tunes called The Medical Marijuana Song from the YouTube collection of Mr. Dan Samples on today's Roots Monday Toker Tune.
feeling mighty bad. I'm hurting from my head down to my feet. Tell me, is it true? All I need is a note from you, and I can get me some of that wonderful wacky weed. Medical marijuana, some folks say they ought to legalize it, cause it takes away all pain. Everybody knows everybody must get stoned, and that's good enough a reason, would you say? It's a miracle healing smoke. Just take a couple tokes and you'll be feeling all better real soon. It's bound to cure what ails you. It's guaranteed, you betcha, you'll be flying highway up and up. Medical marijuana, some folks say they ought to legalize it, cause it takes away all pain. Everybody knows everybody must get stoned, and that's a good enough reason, wouldn't you say? Side effects are these: you might get the munchies and start laughing for no reason at all. Time gets out of whack, paranoia gets pretty bad, and you might spend hours staring at the walls. Medical marijuana, some folks say they ought to legalize it, cause it takes away all pain. But everybody knows everybody must get stoned, and that's a good enough reason, wouldn't you say? I can grow my own, I got a green thumb, you know, and maybe sell some extra on the side. So if you're on a mission and you've got a prescription, you'll be feeling fine in no time. Oh, medical marijuana, some folks say they ought to legalize it, cause it takes away all pain. Everybody knows everybody must get stoned, and that's a good enough reason, wouldn't you say? That's a good enough reason, wouldn't you say?
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up U.S. Vienna, Malgo. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvino.org.
Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government. And from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. We take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal.
Oh, of course, there's one big story this month in Normal, and that's the Normal National Conference that is approaching ever so quickly from the perspective of those of us who have to present it. We bring Alan St. Pierre on the phone from Washington, D.C., who I understand is so busy he's out there on the streets helping us out right now. Is that true?
He was, but now he's found the refuge of the Normal headquarters.
Oh, thank goodness. Glad to hear it, Alan. Of course, Normal Conference 421, 422, 423, right close to 420. And we've also got some things happening on 420 before the conference. Take us, you know, step by step here, day by day. What do we got for people to look forward to this year in Denver?
Well, certainly anybody who's coming to the conference absolutely positively must be in Denver or Boulder no later than 420 to see the biggest orgasmatic explosion of marijuana smoke they're likely ever to see, absent the legalization rally when marijuana is finally brought down to its knees regarding its prohibition. You can see those at 420, obviously, on either day, and immediately afterwards, in the case of Denver, we're going to have a normal pre-registration happy hour party. We were going to have a mayoral debate. It looks like that debate is going to be rescheduled for the next day.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of that has to do with Montel Williams has agreed to moderate a debate between all the mayoral candidates in Denver.
Wow.
So that is still in flux, but it had originally been planned for Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's breaking news here on Normal Show Live, this Montel Williams involvement. Wow, thank you for letting us know about that.
True. And then secondly, is we'll be showing the It's a Normal Life documentary that night at the theater in the hotel. So there's a lot to do on 420 beyond the festivities at 420 that day. Then the next day is the conference proper. It starts at 9 in the morning for registration, kicks off at 10 o'clock, and pretty much the first day is an evaluation of Normal at 40 years old with a speech from Normal's founder and legal counsel, Keith Straub. We will then have a Pot and Politics 2011 panel, which vets all the different issues that are before us today, and most notably, an evaluation of what happened for Prop 19 and what are the prospects for initiatives in 2011 and 2012. Also, we'll be looking at an important discussion these days in the medical marijuana industry, and that is, what is the relationship between you, medical marijuana, and the federal government? Because right now, the federal government is starting to go after these establishments, not through SWAT teams, but through IRS teams.
Yes.
And so that will be a discussion that a lot of people will want to be paying close attention to. And the other thing we'll be looking at that day is the theme of the conference itself, cannabis commerce, the coming of age. The reality is that hundreds of dispensaries in the United States sell cannabis and hashish products and medibles. Many of them are now taxed. And so we can say sincerely we are at the era of marijuana commerce, and this panel will be loaded up with a number of experts to talk about how we got from point A to point B. And then that night is the Normal High Times Activist Award.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Normal and High Times recognize about 10 activists for their outstanding work over the year. Then we go into Friday, and Friday's conference theme is pretty much an evaluation all over the board, but we look at an important topic today, which is medical marijuana. It's not just THC, something that's been a lot talked about on this particular program, and that is sort of the ABCs of CBD, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we have a Normal Women's Alliance panel that will be looking at the trying to close this cannabis gender gap, where we see such a disparity between the number of men who want marijuana legalized and the number of women, the big disparity between men being arrested and women being arrested. Not that we're seeking parity there, just acknowledging that there is some gender gaps here that set up some interesting dynamics in marijuana legalization. Then we have the Normal Senior Alliance looking at marijuana and end of life and the kind of choices many people face regarding the kind of therapies they want to undertake. I'll be giving a lecture, which is sort of a third installment in what is now going to be one of the longest running series in lecturing. This would be the third installment in a 20-year lecture series called Marijuana and the Media. And this particular series, this particular lecture, questions openly whether the media is our friend or foe. And then to follow up in an apropos manner regarding that panel is a blogging and social networking one called The Cures for Decades of Reefer Madness, with individuals like yourself and Steve Bloom and a number of very popular podcasters and bloggers to talk about how, in fact, this is one of the major reasons why reform is happening today. The very vehicle, the very circumstance that we find ourselves talking to each other today is an example of such. And then we'll be doing an event over at the Bluebird that night with Supervillains, where anybody who wants to check it out can get in for $4.20.
And I'm just playing a little bit of Supervillains right now. People that listen to Normal Show Live will recognize this song entitled Resin. They're a band out of Florida. I heard about them first from our friends at the University of Central Florida Normal. They recommended them highly, I guess. So glad to hear they'll be there.
Very cool. Paul Armentano, by the way, just spoke down at the University of Central Florida this past Thursday night to a very good crowd, and all of us who have had the pleasure of speaking down there appreciate the effort of that next generation of reformers.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're looking at Saturday. The wind-up day is a chapter breakfast hosted by yourself and others from Normal for the chapter leaders that will be in attendance. Then we have a breakout session, something we don't usually do during a Saturday morning, but we have things like the High Times Cultivation Panel, Colorado cannabis laws regarding all the different aspects, commerce, taxation, zoning, Normal's Legal Committee, How Not to Get Busted Panel, a favorite for sure. And then because we're in the capital of legal marijuana in the United States regarding state-sanctioned sales, et cetera, we will be having a cooking demonstration on Medibles from some of the best chefs and cooks in Colorado and around the country. We'll have a physicians panel that will be talking about how physicians need to best talk to patients about their use of medical marijuana and to understand the safety and efficacy effects of it. We have a keynote luncheon by the primary sponsor of what we all suspect will be the first legalization bill introduced in the United States for marijuana in 40 years, by Jared Polis, a member of Congress from the greater Boulder, Denver area.
Mm-hmm.
We also will have a panel on marijuana and safety. All kinds of aspects of that regarding, does it lead to psychoses, driving in cannabis, what are the effects, responsibility of educating the marijuana naive as people decide they want to try marijuana for medical or recreational purposes. And then we will wind down the conference with something I hope people will appreciate, a brief lecture and question and answer from the great marijuana maverick, Lester Grinspoon, Normal's Board of Directors, great author, and he is basically opening himself up for virtually any question you would want to ask somebody who has forgotten more about marijuana than most of us will ever know.
Yeah, in person. And we did a couple of years ago at the conference a Skype interview with him that people really enjoyed. That he's great to listen to. You could listen to him all day, and we get him for like over an hour with question and answer. That's just phenomenal. That's excellent.
So it looks to be a great, great conference. We'll have a party that night at a private law firm where we will have entertainment from Greta Gaines and her band, performers. We'll have Ngaio Bilum doing some emceeing and comedy. We will also have a performance of the Marijuana Log. Anybody who's never had the pleasure of seeing this three-person troupe do a skit, this will be a new and updated version, including a good friend of ours and a good friend of this show, the associate publisher of High Times, Rick Cusick.
Oh, excellent. This is going to be a lot of fun. And who else is traveling with the Marijuana Logs for that? Because I know they rotate the lineup. Do we have the other lineup?
Yes, I believe Tony Kamen, who's one of the founders of it, and Rob Cantrell, popular cannabis comedian.
Yeah, Rob's been out here on the West Coast, been to the Cannabis Cafe a couple of times. He's a good friend of the show, too. So looking forward to that Marijuana Logs. Now, everyone who's listening and wanting to go to the 420 events and, of course, the Normal conference has got to be thinking about their budget. You know, how are they going to afford to get there? What's the scoop here on hotel rooms, on the conference itself? Can people buy, single days? What are the packages available?
Right now, we don't have single days available, though we will. We've already started to get lots of inquiries, mainly from college students in the general area who only can attend one day and want a per diem price. And that's great. We'll reply to that and have up per day prices. Off the top of my head, my guess is it's going to be $100 per day if you come Thursday or Saturday, because those have social events and luncheons included. It'll probably be $75 or so on Friday, which doesn't have as much bling, as shall we say. So on that, that'll probably be the breakdown of the cost. Right now, there's an early bird special where people can get the whole package for $200. It's going to go up to $225 in the next couple of days, meaning Wednesday, and probably go up to $250 the day of the event itself. So this is a classic example where procrastination absolutely does not pay. You only pay more if you want to go and you don't do it now. Also, the socials are going to be $60 to attend the Saturday night event, which will be a private affair. And if anybody's come to the normal Saturday night fundraisers associated with the conference, knows that these are genuinely special events we don't even pretend we can advertise what actually goes on there.
No.
So it's a wonderful event, and people are encouraged to attend. And overall, it is a great conference coming together so far. We know we've already virtually sold the hotel out twice over, and there's still some doubles available at the host hotel, I believe, for like $120 a night, which is about $150 to $200 off their rack rate right now. There's all kinds of alternative accommodations nearby. There's youth hostels for anybody who happens to be 25 or under. Bless them. They go to a youth hostel or whatnot and stay at those places at little or no costs. And then, of course, there's all these great social programs that are out there today that allow people to become roomies temporarily over the weekend for events like this.
Yeah, it's excellent. If you want to get there, there's a way you can make it happen. I know people that are getting out there and getting a hotel room. They've got, you know, six or seven people staying in a room. And like I always say, when you go to these events, it's not like you're going to be hanging out in your room a lot. So just need a place to store your luggage and catch a nap, and that should do it for you.
Yeah, that would definitely describe most people's experience. There's just way too much good stuff going on, too much fun learning and socializing and networking. And in Denver, because there are 200 cannabis dispensaries within 10 square miles of the event, we know there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. We just got an offer today from a ganja bus service that is willing to pick people up at the airport for little or no money and can provide services.
Excellent.
All kinds of different events are coming to be, and we definitely hope to make a couple more announcements of some notable folks. I mean, we have been talking to Ziggy Marley to appear. He has a new cartoon series and a cartoon book that he's promoting regarding marijuana. I think it's called Marijuana Man, and we're hoping that he can appear and or perform.
Yeah, he was just at the L.A. HempCon this weekend, so I know he's touring around and trying to promote this, and I look forward to that. I hope we can get him here. As far as movies go, you mentioned the documentary film A Normal Life. Is there anything with Square Grouper that we've got scheduled?
We don't have it scheduled yet, though. Square Grouper is a excellent documentary that we would like to play at the conference. Unfortunately, by the time they let us know that it was finally ready, most of the conference had been planned, and whacking out an hour and a half plus for these events can be tough. If we have a gap in the schedule and we can fill it, we probably would do it readily with this documentary, which is very well done.
Mm-hmm. So the keynote speaker, Representative Jared Polis, we've got the 420 events that are happening, the Denver mayoral debate with the, now is it still just possibility of Montel Williams hosting?
Well, he's agreed that he would like to come in on Thursday. We had to basically juggle the schedule around his situation, and right now, it looks like it's a go. We just have to get everybody on board to say yes, and it looks like it's probably going to be at the 1 to 2:30 hour on Thursday the 21st at the hotel. And then this happens, this absolutely assures statewide coverage. Mm-hmm. The mayor's race in Denver is second most important political position in the state, second only to governor, and not surprisingly, most of the governors of the state often begin as the mayor of Denver. And for everybody's edification who's listening, about half of the mayors mayoral candidates support strongly medical access to marijuana, and a couple of them support legalization of marijuana. So to have a debate hosted and hosted by Normal and moderated by Montel Williams,
yes,
assures this will be viewed by everybody concerned in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. And we'll enjoy carrying the web stream of that on the Normal Network. That will be quite the coup, I think, too.
Absolutely.
Alan, before we let you go, speaking of Montel Williams, you two, he must be stalking you, or you're stalking him, because you were just on TV together on that Dr. Oz show. I wanted to get some time to get your reflections on that experience.
Well, it reminded me a lot of TV shows I did in the 1990s when the question back then was, is marijuana a medicine? And I thought we had largely resolved that question, certainly using as a tea leaf the fact that most of these daytime TV shows that exist from like 9 a.m. to 5 o'clock in the afternoon that would tease apart these type of shows, they seemingly had put aside this subject matter almost a decade ago. There wasn't the controversial, is it medicine, dun-dun-dun, but this show seemed to have that component all about it, and the second part of it that reminded me of shows I used to do in the 90s, which I don't think is much different than a lot of these TV shows for those who don't understand how they work. If there's a live audience, and they particularly want a rowdy live audience, which every show wants, high energy, rah-rah-rah, half the audience was loaded with normal partisans from the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut chapters, and the other half of the crowd had literally been emptied out of a heroin rehab house in Manhattan. And so you just had this strident, discordant tone in the audience between those who thought medical marijuana was great and it should be legalized and those who thought it was terrible and
leads to heroin.
And so it was so that dynamic I didn't appreciate, but I think the end product, they filmed for like an hour and 20 minutes to get 42 minutes of actual TV time. So they cut out a lot. They edited it quite a bit, but in the end, I think the public got a basic look at the fact that medical marijuana is absolutely all around the United States. It's on the verge of becoming quite a commercial commodity. Dr. Oz was frustrated that as a doctor, he, as a New Jersey resident, is living in a state where it is clearly a dysfunctional law. He can't have the kind of communications he wants with his patients so that they can get medical marijuana. So I think overall people probably came away from it recognizing, yes, medical marijuana is available, yes, it's still controversial in some people's minds, but it just reminded me of so many shows I used to do, like the Ricky Lake show,
yeah,
and the Jane Pratt show. I mean, there's all these shows I remember vividly from the 90s that really just hysterically looked at the issue.
Yeah, and there was just a brief segment that you were in that made it to TV. Of course, you were correcting Andrea Barthwell, which, you know, that could be a 42-minute show in itself. But there was a question that was asked of you about California and medical marijuana. Did California go too far, and has that scared the other states? And I felt it was kind of an unfair question, or maybe it was edited unfairly, in that it's like those cop compound questions when they say, you don't have any drugs in your car, you don't mind if we search. What part were you answering? And I felt that you were answering the part of other states are freaked out by this, and I think some people interpreted it as you saying California went too far. Give us your insight on that. What did you mean by that answer?
Sure, both the editing and the audience response was localized, to say the least. In the end, it's pretty clear. From my point of view, California didn't go too far in creating medical marijuana laws. What has absolutely happened in the most measurable way is the political blowback that's happened because that California has the most lax of the medical marijuana laws. It's the most powerful, potent, cultural state in our country regarding the fact that one out of eight of us live there. Hollywood takes its bullhorn and projects things like Weeds and monologues from Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien every night into our homes. And so much of that has reflected, along with what most of us who do the lobbying at the state and federal level have happened when we go into a state legislator's office or their staff and start talking about the idea of moving a state towards medical marijuana, they say, that's great. Can I just ask you something? And they just punch up on the computer the 60 Minutes piece from about, I think, two and a half years ago, one of the classic 60 Minutes exposés on medical marijuana, and they want to try to have groups like Normal answer to all of the maladies and warts created by the California system. And, well, we really can't speak to that, acknowledging the fact that every single state post-California developing its laws has tightened the laws, has restricted access, generally speaking. So it's an acknowledgement that California, while first, is not the model that's replicated hardly anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got a rounded update. So Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal in Washington, D.C., we're all looking forward to the Normal National Conference. If you want to go, get online now. It's normal.org/conference. All the information, the socials, the passes, everything you need, it's right there online. And get those early bird prices while you can. And Alan, thanks again for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
My pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks on 420.
We'll see you there.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama.
It's time for legalization.
Legalization.
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
The Normal Pack, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
You know, I think about the use of marijuana, and as we fight for legalization, one of the clear things that needs to be addressed is the morality of getting high. really, when you look at all the problems that happen with medical marijuana and all the people that oppose the legalization of marijuana, you come to a couple of conclusions. And one of them is that people confuse legal with promoted, or they confuse legalization with acceptance. And this is certainly not the case. Ask any tobacco smoker out there if they think that legal tobacco means that the government is promoting the use of tobacco. And look at the statistics of the kids' use of tobacco, which is at its lowest rates ever since we started telling the truth about it and doing public service campaigns and changing a few laws about it, but not by arresting anyone. And I think this really stems as part of a culture war. It really comes from a culture war and a feeling that the use of cannabis and the people that use cannabis are dirty or wrong or disgusting or somehow causing problems if we know that they're out there toking. For example, in Oregon, our medical marijuana law says that you cannot medicate in public view. You cannot have people seeing your cannabis, not even the medication, you know, the actual act of medicating, smoking or vaporizing or whatever, but your plants, your medicine cannot be seen in public view. You've got them in a clear mason jar. You got a clear jar like this and it's seen out in public. You lose the protection of the medical marijuana card and you are now a criminal subject to all the laws that the healthy people are. So it seems to me there is a problem with the sight of cannabis, the sight of marijuana plants, that for some reason our society just can't accept that. It's too shocking. But then I go looking around YouTube at some of the things that I see that are acceptable in this country, at least acceptable in the point that they're not illegal, that no one goes to jail for these things. And I want to counsel anyone who's watching this on the webcam, if you don't like the sight of some pretty gruesome or weird looking things, you might want to just listen for now and turn the webcam off if you don't like this kind of video. But I want to show you a couple of things that are perfectly legal in this country. In fact, celebrated and revered by some and as a constitutional right. Here's one that we pull from a church service. This is from North Alabama, 1994 news report.
Pot smoking you ever done, or any beer drinking or liquor. It's just a feeling that you got that nothing can hurt you and you ain't scared of nothing.
See, those are the snake handlers, the charismatic churches that handle the snakes, and they revere a verse in Paul, I believe it is, about being bitten by a snake and surviving because of God's charity and all. But these guys go into pretty much a religious stupor here, enjoying their piety and the handling of snakes. And that's perfectly legal, and, you know, I got no problem with it. It's enshrined as a constitutional right, but it's certainly a choice. It's something they're choosing to do, and yet we perfectly accept this. And here's something else that we accept here, and maybe a lot of people are freaked out or shocked by this, and again, if you don't like shocking images, please turn away, but it's the people that enjoy impaling themselves on hooks and hanging from their backs with the swinging from the ceilings here, hanging from the skin of their elbows and their backs, and they get the endorphin rush from that. They get an incredible high off of that, and it's perfectly legal. Nobody's being arrested for that. Now, it's not my cup of tea. I'm not into it. I don't think it's very cool at all, but I don't think anyone should be arrested for participating in this or doing this. Or when we want to look at the use of drugs itself, here we have something that is entitled on the YouTube here, Octobong, Wisconsin versus Minnesota. And if you can see there on the video screen, that is a long piece of tubing, 1-inch tubing, raised up about, 4 stories, leading to the Octobong.
Let's go, come on! 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Octobong!
So we have 8 young men here drinking bong, drinking beer that has been funneled through beer bongs coming down from 4 stories above out in the quad of some college. Don't know if it's at Wisconsin or Minnesota, don't know. But there it is. That's I don't know if it's exactly legal, but it's accepted. Nobody's out there arresting them. No one's calling the cops. And that's the kind of thing we see in college campuses all the time. And finally, this thing that I found on the internet, something called X-Arm. This is allegedly a sport called extreme arm wrestling, where not only can they arm wrestle, but they can bludgeon each other. They can kick and punch. Here's one doing a figure four leg lock, arm lock, arm bar. Punching is perfectly allowed. It's basically two guys strapped to one another, beating the hell out of each other. for our entertainment, kicking each other in the head. Nobody is talking about arresting these guys. Nobody's talking about having zero tolerance for this. This is acceptable in America. This is something that you can show on television networks, and nobody has a problem with it. But if I were to get my pipe, if I were to get my Gandalf, my little bit of medical marijuana here, and enjoy it here on camera, I could possibly subject to arrest or imprisonment or some sort of terrible fine. Well, you know what I have to say to that? Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong if I'm doing it. It ain't hurting you a bit. I'm Radical Russ for Cleek the Intern and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live. Stay tuned for the rest of the Normal Network. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.